Hello out there.
Hey, good evening, people.
Here we are. It's our, just thought about it now. It's the last show of the summer. Thursday is fall, so.
Yeah, that's right.
Two shows back in. Summer's over. We'll be going into the fall season.
Bring out the heavy quilts and the blankets and
get
ready.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. What a great summer as far as weather. This is unbelievable.
It's better than last winter.
Oh, I mean, last winter was phenomenal. This summer is great. Of course, we know that living here in the Berkshires will pay for this somewhere down the road, but enjoy it while you can, because this weather's just been absolutely phenomenal. And speaking of phenomenal,
I got one announcement to make.
Okay.
I have to make it now because right now, as we're talking, down at Bounty Fair, the Clarksburg VFW has a spaghetti supper going, and I think they're serving until 7 o'clock. So if you hurry up, you can get down there. Or you can call ahead to Bounty Fair and have them put an order up for you, and you can take it out. I think it's $8 for adults. I don't know what the rest of the prices are, but I paid $8, and it was very good.
What's the meal? What is it?
Spaghetti supper.
Okay.
Usually they have spaghetti and meatballs, mm-hmm. and you get a salad, spaghetti, meatballs, something to drink.
Bread?
And, garlic bread. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very good meal for eight bucks.
Hey, got a half hour. Go for it.
You got a half hour.
Yeah. So speaking of fantastic, Red Sox.
Absolutely great.
Oh,
I know there's somebody in the control room who's not too happy.
Yeah, that was very painful. Very, very painful.
But I went home the other night and watched the games, and I said, I can't believe these guys pulling it out. I mean, all of a sudden, Hanley Ramirez is earning his money.
Yeah.
I mean, he is belting that ball all over the
mm-hmm.
park.
Yes, he is.
And then, of course, Pappy Poppy Poopy.
Yep.
He's up there whacking the ball all over the place. And you know who surprised me the most of all here? Was JBJ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bradley Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, they brought him up. They sent him down. They brought him up. They sent him down. They brought him up this year. And
yep.
And what's he got now?
Everybody.
26, 7 home runs?
Everybody's doing good.
Unbelievable.
You know, Mookie
Betts.
Three
people got 100 RBIs. Yeah, Betts is doing good.
Yep.
Bogart,
he's not
tailing
doing
off. He's still doing good.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll make first position on any team. Yeah,
it'd be awesome to see the Sox and the Cubs in the World Series. That'd really be that'd be something. But we'll see. But in all honesty, I like the Red Sox, and I'm not like I used to. But my season's a success if they finish ahead of the Yankees. So whatever happens is just. It's just gravy. Now we're at the football. Now we got the Patriots.
Patriots won two games without the big guy there.
Man, they've got five starters out. They got two out at probably the best at their position of all time. Brady Gronkowski. Looks good. So
yeah,
we'll see when those guys come back.
They're going to be hurting this next game. They're going to be hurting.
Nah, they're going to win. They're going to win.
Brady's out.
Garoppolo's out. Well, he may still play. He may still
think
play.
So?
I don't know if he'll start, but I'll tell you. You know, the Patriots are amazing. You know, next man up. Their mantra, and they're very well prepared, very well coached team. I'm a big Belichick fan. I know a lot of people don't like him because he doesn't talk, but I think he. It's most of the stuff's none of our business. We get too much information. I like the way he coaches. I like the team. So, go Patriots.
Oh yeah, they're gonna go.
Okay, that's good.
Yep.
All right.
What do we got there?
What do we got tonight? Probably the biggest thing is that City Yard moving down to Hodges Crossroad. I had issues with it basically from the beginning. I had talked to people on it. People called me on it. Those out there, I just want to thank the people out there for their calls. Before it went out there, that they're kind of their disapproval. I had all kind of people talk to me, business people, real estate people. I made some phone calls to people and got their opinions. I had very, very few that were supporting it, and some of them that kind of were. I gave them some of my point of view, and they... kind of agreed there are good points. And so it went to the council they approved it. They approved them to go for the funding, the bond issue, to progress and go for it.
But it's not a done deal.
Not a done deal.
Not a done deal.
I've been doing a lot. I probably, without a doubt, I've probably done more work, homework, research on this than I have anything else, just to kind of prove my point. It got voted 7-1. I was the one dissenting vote. And some of the counselors kind of disappointed me, because one thing it's just me, and you know, you can vote your conscience and vote what you have to vote, but I hate the when they come up and say, well, I think we're paying too much for this, but I'm going to vote for it anyways.
Yeah, I couldn't understand. There were several of them that said, the cost is outrageous, but I got to vote for it. I'd like to see them get a new place also.
Yeah.
But my questions go back to, if the place on Ashland Street is that run down and that dangerous to work in, why are they there?
The city, we have numerous buildings that are bad. I mean, I was in the police station not too long ago, and they were talking last year.
You were in there on a visit, though.
No, yeah, they were.
Yeah,
I was
okay.
Being released on bail.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of the sergeants, and he was talking how bad, you know, you want to tour the building, and I'm pretty aware of some of the deficiencies. But one of the detectives was in there one day doing a report, talking to somebody about the building, and it was snowing out, and snow was coming through
the windows. The windows down there,
you know,
gosh.
They're 1955 when the building was put in. So, but the Public Works Department, nobody disagrees that it's deplorable condition. I mean, it's truly, truly terrible down there, what they have to, work under. But again, they don't per se work in there. They're basically in a truck out in the road doing what they do, broken water pipes, mowing lawns, plowing streets, fixing
stuff. That was my question to some of the workers. And in fact, some of the people who have retired from the city, I said to them, how are they going to make the move themselves? With our own trucks, mm-hmm. with our own lifts, with our own equipment?
I don't think,
these guys are going to do it. They're already paying them. Who's going to be doing the work out in the street while these guys are moving the equipment?
Well, if you have a year like last year, which easy. I mean, in the wintertime, face it. I mean, if you have a year like last year, there wasn't many broken water pipes and there wasn't much plowing to do. So, there is time to move the stuff down there. You can do it at your own pace. You own the property. The mayor did say he has a potential commercial buyer for the property, which I'd love to see. So anything to rent, generate some taxes.
I'd like to see somebody come in, a commercial venture come in down there. I don't want to see it go to MCLA, believe me. And I think I can say almost safely, I don't think MCLA wants the place.
I heard differently from someone who was there, and
really?
They were saying they were looking potentially for a public safety building, possibly. But again, that's hearsay. This was pretty well vetted. This whole scenario with a couple special meetings we had, the council. We toured all our facilities we had. The mayor made his pitch for buying this. And again, like Councilor Moran was saying, you know, per square foot, it's a good buy. It is. It's a good buy. Do I think we need it? No, I don't think we need it. I don't think we need that. Huge, huge, huge space. I was very distressed at the last city council meeting, and the mayor was going forward, and other city employees were touting the advantages of it. I understand the advantages of it. Is it the best thing for the city? I still don't think it's the best thing for the city. I researched up behind the landfill, the transfer station, and that I couldn't still take that off, but there's pluses and minuses up there. If I had to, my say, from what I've been looking at, I still got more research to do, but I still like the salt yard. I think it's got enough space down there. I think you put up a Butler building, you put up another storage space for the sand and salt, open containers with a dome on it like everyone else does. From what I've been told, salt should never be stored inside. Even though the walls are gonna be coated, it still rusts out and it just gets in the atmosphere, plus it's a metal building. So that's what I was told. There's a big thing on, well, we can store all our equipment inside. That is not important. Not important at all.
No, if you go to store it outside now.
Everyone.
All except the big trucks, are, the three trucks are inside, but
all
the plows and everything else, they're outside.
State trucks are outside, construction trucks are outside, plows are outside from different communities. Go by different communities and see their town yard. They're on racks. It's nice if you can have them inside, it's an imperative. And like Mr. LaScarbo, a lot of our trucks are 10, 12 years old. So they said by putting them inside extends the life. I mean, they got a pretty good life on them right now.
Yeah.
Maintenance is, I think, much, much more important than inside storage, personally.
Preventative maintenance. Yeah.
And I just go by what I see and what's out there. So I don't think that's a good cause for it. The other thing that kind of upset me at the city council meeting is Mr. Gerard from Greylock, the real estate agent, said that previous to us, they had a buyer, potential buyer, I mean, he said a buyer for the building with 100 jobs. That supersedes everything. He said they could not use the building, they couldn't finalize it and use it because of inadequate water pressure or supply down there.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, Charles McCann right across the street. You're telling me that the high school doesn't have adequate water pressure?
I know the water supply down there's pressure not adequate. I know, then even when you get up into the trailer park. But, you know, again, you have Morrison Berkshire down there. You have McCann down there. You have Walmart down there. You have restaurants down there.
That land is almost river level.
Could you dig
You're
a well?
Like 4 feet above a river.
Could you dig a well down there and get water? I just think the city would have much been better served to have known about this. The mayor said he knew nothing about it. But I think the developer or the people who own the plant itself would have been much better served to come to the city and say, how could we improve our infrastructure down there? The water for the jobs, because I think jobs supersede anything to get that industry in here. It's hard to get industry in here, and to know we had the potential, the mayor wasn't aware of it, so I kind of blame the real estate person. And the other thing that got me is he got up there and spoke during a council meeting, which it's okay, but in hindsight, I would have objected simply because he has a vested interest, I believe, being the agent, and he was touting the property, what a good deal it was. I wish I thought of it, to make him aware, or make the council and the viewers aware, do you have a vested interest in this sale? Monetarily, are you invested? Do you have an interest in this? I would like to have him come out, yes, I do, I'm the realtor, we're gonna make a 8%, 10% commission. I'm vested, so for him to come out and say stuff was, I think, very slanted. I think it was wrong, and I really apologize for missing that because I did think of it after, and he should have announced that he had a monetary interest in it to sell it.
No idea who the interested parties were?
No. And I don't know when it was. I guess the mayor said we've been working on this for about 10 months. And again, we went inside, and it's a big building.
Were you notified about this 10 months ago when they started looking
at
this?
No, yes and no. I mean, there's capital improvement plan, all this stuff. I mean, he doesn't have to come to us 10 months ago and do that, by no means. I mean, there's all kinds of capital improvement plan, which I have right here. And there was a plan in there for $2.7 million to build a new
facility.
So, I mean, they work on it, and that's not our job to do that. It's our job to approve it, to ask the questions, and to find out. I've also heard that people said, well, once you do, there's some, I believe, false information out there online, and I don't go online and I don't do the Facebook, and again, hearsay. I was told that someone said, and it might have been a counselor, that the person told me that once you put an RFP, that's what you have to deal with. That's not true. What an RFP is, the city is looking for potential building site or building for our Department of Public Works. So they put the RFP out there, So if you have property, if you have a building, if you have land, you submit to the city, I have 40 acres, I have two buildings on it, I have parking, and I'm offering this to the city for $1 million. So the city receives the RFP and they can go over it. It's something that they might be able to use, something they might not be able to use, but it's something you can still negotiate on. You can still negotiate the price. And from what this person told me, someone told them you could not renegotiate the price, which is not true. You can negotiate the price. So we're going to this building, which it was pretty impressive when I went down there. Could we use it? Sure, we could use it. Do we need other buildings? Sure, we could. It does create a space for our Department of Public Works. Is it the best space? My question, my opposition is, A, number one, it's not the best space. A, number two, we're paying too much for it. And A, number three, I don't believe, and the administration says everything else was, they looked at all the other sites, was not done. Now, I know Williamstown a few years ago, I think, put up a 30,000 square foot public works building for, I believe, 1.8. Somewhere right around there. But just to use that as ballpark, and again, not exact figures. But looking at all the sites we had, now you can redo where we are at great expense, and they had about a $2.7 million, which tie-in bond, and I think is greatly inflated. You got the salt, where the salt shed is, you have up behind the landfill transfer station, and you have the McCann School site.
Who owns land on Brown Street, where the old...
Oh, you're not going to put it down there. That's an ideal spot for public safety. Oh, public, yeah, that's going to be fire police, I would think. I mean, I don't know, but boy, that's a great spot for...
That's a great spot. That's why
I wouldn't.
Oh, geez,
I've had that in the back burner of my mind for several years now, the Brown Street for that. It's a great spot.
We own that? The city owns that?
Oh, no. Sprague owns that.
Still,
yeah, okay. But I mean, it's been capped, and I'm sure there could be some remediation, or yeah. I don't know how they do it, but that thing is a great, great site down the road for public safety. You know, at least the fire department. I'm still like the idea of sharing a police station with other communities as a center, but that's a different story. I'm sure we'll have shows on that. But so after all my talk, and I spoke at every meeting, I went to all the subcommittee meetings, I went on all the tours. I come up with the, I think the best spot would be down on Ashland Street where the salt shed is now. And I did mention at the last meeting, and the mayor didn't like that. He said it was looked at and it'd be too expensive. And he wants to get the public works out of a residential neighborhood, which I come back with, I don't believe it's a residential neighborhood. You have a construction company across the street. You have a propane company. You have the state.
Gas company.
State yard there.
State. You have a
railroad right behind it. So I think it's far from a quiet residential neighborhood. And to have a city yard down there, I think is an ideal situation. For the fact, I think it's a great location. I think the space is already there. I think you could also sell your other spot, and whether it goes to the college or you have a private buyer come in and buy it, it cleans up that corridor by the college because it's not very attractive. So if you do sell it to a commercial, fine. To make sense of using the salt yard is, I think it's a very good location. It's already being used somewhat for storage, sand, salt, and
sand,
equipment.
Sand, salt, equipment's out there, yeah.
And I would say do a Butler building. Now, I've been researching that. Now, the building price, they're basically looking at it as $1.5 million for down there. Again, not an outrageous price. It's affordable. Put out the bonding 40 years, how it'll affect us pretty minimally for the most part from what it could cost us. But I've been, actually today, we're researching a Butler building. Now, these are, this is just very, very preliminary facts, and it can be, and they have to be much more fine-tuned, but the capital plan was about $2.7 million to build a new one. And you're always going to be better off with new than old. I mean, that's a 50, 60-year-old metal building down there, which do need repair and upkeep. Initially, I was under the impression it was a new roof. Probably a little bit more than half is new, so there's still some work potentially down there. But I was looking at a Butler building, and I called up a company that does Butler buildings, and on their site, and I was just looking at, they have different sizes and types of buildings. But just as an example, I was looking at a 100 by 120 foot Butler building. It's a, you know, very good size building. And you can punch in your height. I said 24 feet, you know, go high. The building right now, that particular building, I was just looking at, just researching, was $178,115 for the building. Now that's just your building. So you've got to go further than that. So that I thought was a pretty good price for that size building. That's a huge building. Foundation, you're going to put it on a slab, and that's good. The way I figured it would come just under $100,000, but just figure $100,000 to build it, which they could bring in their workers as part of the plan when they get to, when you buy the Butler building, they come in and build it. I figured $100,000. I didn't know the price, but I just let's use a nice round figure, $100,000. And these buildings go up very, very fast. You know, you're talking probably inside 2 months. They go up very fast. And then the build out, I didn't know all the specs they need, but I do know they need big overhead doors. So a couple big overhead doors to get trucks in and out, you know, a garage area, bay area, and then to build out to different offices, you know, Department of Public Works and the water department and whatever, cemetery department. So I had a build out inside of $100,000. And I think that's high too, but it may not be, but I went high on everything. So to build the building, to have the build out for all your add-ons, your big garage doors and whatever special things you want, foundation and the building for a price, again, it is not exact, and this is, you know, just my own figures, $478,115. The project we got is $1.5 million. But that's not the end. That's not the end. When you take that building that we're going to be potentially buying, $59,000 in taxes that we're going to be losing. Now, on the plus side for that building, what the administration was talking about, and I can understand, you got to give all the plus points, was, well, you're going to have cemetery enough for 2,500 new plots. We've only got 400 or 500 where we are now. So you would be able to take some of the space in the back from down on Hodges Crossroad and make that, add that to your cemetery, which is a good thing. Good thing. The other thing, which was a plus that they mentioned, was there's going to be a solar project down there that the company that owns it was going to put in. If the city bought the building, that solar project would revert to the city. They wouldn't pay taxes on it, but you would get a TIF, you know, payment in lieu of taxes, that we would receive. And I'm thinking $30,000. And I could be wrong. It could be a little less, a little more. But instead of taxes, that's what you would get. And the mayor was kind of using that as, well, we're getting roughly $60,000. So now we're not going to lose $60,000. We're only going to lose $30,000 because of the payment in lieu of taxes. So if we don't buy it, the solar project is probably still going to go through. They're still going to have it. So it won't be a TIF. I believe if that solar project went in, it would be taxable. So you would have $58,000, $60,000 property taxes from that building, plus $30,000 from the solar project. So you would be plus $90,000 potentially.
Did you discuss all this with the Finance Committee?
I went to every meeting. This is something I just thought of. I mean, The two things I kind of thought of after was adding both of those on to the taxes. to offset our costs. That I did not bring up in that, thought of that after, like I thought of Mr. Gerard speaking at the meeting. I didn't get everything. So if we buy that building, I believe we haven't got the package, but it's a 40-year pay down on $1.5 million. And that's not the 40-year pay down. That's to buy it and to get it ready now. But when you figure a 40-year payout, in that 40 years, every 5 years, there's probably going to be something major you have to do so we don't get in the situation we got now. So you're adding a ton more money on it. If my thinking on this, if we used our property, put a 100 by 120, I mean, maybe you need 100 by 180, I don't know, but you can proportionately raise and lower the prices. You put another salt shed up there, the big domed ones like they have where the trucks go in
they're
and
open
out,
front,
they're
right.
open,
open front.
And you build that, and those are, it's a minimal expense for that. So I'm saying you could probably go at least 30% larger if you needed larger. You could put a big salt shed up, you could put a big sand shed up for under $1 million. I've done a lot of these things over the years, and you can't do it, this can't happen, blah, blah, blah. Again, I'm a business person, putting stuff down on paper, and I'm sure there's things I'm missing here. But this is just in my own spare time, making a few phone calls, of looking of potentially what we could do. And if this came to fruition with the potential, say, $75,000 to $90,000 in tax revenue from what's down there, and who knows, maybe more, basically the tax revenue would be paying this off in about 25 years just on the taxes, not 40 years being bonded. So I think you potentially could get one of our big headaches off our books for much less money, have a brand new building, keep that for whatever. Maybe McCann School wants to expand, who knows?
I doubt if they would go across.
Well,
they may not,
but I still think that to get a business in there, potentially have it. I like to have it there. I don't want to see the city taking more land. I want to get revenue in. That's what we have to have. We have to have revenue here. So I've gone up, down, and around on this. I'm sure, like I said, there's probably some things I'm missing.
What is the tax rate on that building now? How much are they paying in taxes?
$58,000.
$58,000.
Yeah. That's right now, just like it is. They didn't ask for an abatement, which we found out because the taxes hadn't been paid. You can't get an abatement when you're past due on your taxes. So the deal has kind of come together with the city. That was paid up. And the other thing about this, it's just, again, I'm not a real estate broker, but I bought several commercial properties. I bought several personal properties. I bought land. I'm fairly experienced in how the game works. The asking price was just over $1 million on the property. So once we got involved, we agreed to pay just under $1 million, $950,000 under $1 million. So then I started looking at all the paperwork. The mayor wants $350,000 to upkeep, put new doors in down there, overhead doors to get the sand salt area ready, just to do improvements in the building, $350,000. On to the almost $1 million we paid for it. But there's another $107 million, and it said for improvements, and I caught this before the last meeting, but that $107,000 is for items to be done to that building by the seller, which we're paying for.
Why?
This, and I said during a meeting, I said, this is totally backwards. And again, I did have people, some pretty influential people come up to me and told me, you know, you're right, this is backwards.
Well, yeah, influential. I just said, why?
I don't know. I mean, I brought it up, but no counselor seemed to get it. I had a lot of public support, but it'd be like, if you're going to buy a house from me, and I want $100,000 for the house. Well, you may come in and say, Bob, I'll give you $85,000 for the house. And I'll say, well, okay, I'll accept it. But you would tell me, you know, those windows out back that are broke, I want fixed. The stairs are cracked.
No. The price is going to go up.
I want that fixed. But and for me to sell it to you, you would say, okay, I'll buy it with those things. We're doing that, and we're telling the seller,
we're gonna pay you for it.
So it's not bad enough for paying, I think, more than we should. We're also paying them out of taxpayer money to fix stuff for it. Totally backwards. Believe me, it is. Ask anybody. I mean, it's, I don't get it.
You got me wondering there. You're going to get a 40-year mortgage on a
bond issue.
Hello, let's talk about it.
Hey, how's it going there, Ed and Bob? It's Mike here. Just to contribute a little bit to the conversation, the reason that $107,000 was arranged like that, and I mean, this is, I even hate to say it, we could avoid, or we, Davis Bacon requires certain pay, certain wages for people, and if the employer was a private employer like Mr. Arthur Grode, G-R-O-D-D, the owner of the building, if he hires people, he can pay them less than the city would be because of the Davis Bacon prevailing wage. Dick Bassotti spoke of it on the at the council meeting. So that's why that 107, Ed, you'll get a big kick out of that, I'm sure. You know, I was a union guy for a while. I mean, this is, you know, this is not even illegal, I don't think. But anyway, that's why the 107 went that way. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm not opposed. I mean, prevailing wage may be a reason for it, but my point of it is when you negotiate your price, so we're actually paying a little bit more for the building than was originally asked for it. So I'm saying from the initially when you looked at the property and you come back with a price, you can still say, instead of giving you $1 million for the property, I'm going to give you $750,000, say, for the property. But I want this painted, these windows done, this done, this done, and this done. Nothing to do with prevailing wage. Something that to make the property ready for us to buy it is something they had to do. For us to pay for it, I mean, I certainly wouldn't do that. I wouldn't expect that if I bought a property from somebody. So, again, that's backwards. I said it was backwards, and I've had people involved in property sales tell me I'm right. I mean, I know I'm right because I've done it before. That's just what you do. You negotiate. So I have a problem with it. I still like the Ashland Street, you know, and I'm going to do more work on it.
How about if the city takes the money that they're getting on taxes, $58,000 a year, and use that $58,000 a year to build a new place on Ashland Street? That, you know, they're talking 40 years, you're going to make a bond payment.
Well, you don't do that. I mean, you can't do that.
Why?
You can't. You've got to have items budgeted. I mean, once the taxes get abated and it goes down to $30,000, then you have to go back to the taxpayers, to the budget, to get more money. I'd still go out for a bond on this property,
a million.
You know, do this. I mean, if I'm coming up with just basically $500,000 for a build-out. And that's, again, you may need a bigger building.
Well, how many years would that be? How many years would that bond be? $478,000.
Well, it had to be more. You had to put a couple of solid sheds and stuff like that in. You could do it for 20. You could do it for 40. I don't know. I mean, that's something for the administration to figure out what you want to spend. But I'm just saying the taxes and the solar would potentially offset it.
The taxes alone are $2.3 million.
This is the property. But the talking about the cemetery, that's we're going to use that. But that, if you look at the map, the land is well behind that building. It's nothing that they were going to use. It's something they kind of have. I think no matter who ended up with it down the road, I think it would be potentially an easy buy for the city. The people basically could not use it because of wetlands and whatnot. So whether it was down the road potentially donated by somebody, if we did have to pay some money, because that would be, again, a revenue generator, even though I think cemeteries are going to be greatly diminished. because of the amount of people that will be cremated, the lots will go a lot farther, and not everybody is interned in the cemetery that is cremated. So, and again, there's potential revenue down the road, but I don't think you can offset any of this potential build out to you know, what you're going to generate from the cemetery. That's an added plus. I think that's always going to be available to the city because no one else can get down there and build. You can't go down there and put a building up because of the way the property is, the floodplain, the rivers out there, and whatnot. So it's I'm just, you know, looking at it a different way. I just have a hard time with it. Again, it's 7-1, but it will come back for the you know, the financials of it. You can fight it. I want to probably try and put together a alternative package, maybe present. You know, I don't know. I mean, as a city councilor, I think it's a councilor's job not to be adversarial with the mayor. And, you know, believe me, we've been together on many things. We've been opposed on many things. I don't think this was looked at close enough. I just looked at the capital plan, $2.7 million. I'm well below that.
So you're saying that the city is going to buy this for $950,000? That's given the people who bought the place their initial investment, the taxes back since 2010 when they bought it?
Yeah.
$58,000 a year?
Yeah.
So you end up giving them $948,000. You're giving them what they paid for the building, mm-hmm. plus what they paid for the taxes to the city.
And again, there's buyer's markets and there's seller's market.
You know,
we're in a buyer's market right now. If we did not, and the mayor said, you know, what would happen if somebody came in and bought this building out? You know, I would say fantastic. Someone's coming in with jobs. That's phenomenal. Let's pretend somebody did do that. I say it's a, we're in a driver's seat on this. Whatever we're, I can't wrap my head around it. I can't vote for it. I'm still going to try and get some more exact figures on this, but I have a problem with it. So anyone's been watching the council meetings and subcommittee meetings for the past month pretty much know that. And again, it's still kind of, when someone says they think we're paying too much and they don't really like it, but they're going to vote for it anyways,
That shows me a little bit of,
That bothers me. Again, you know, one person, one vote, I understand that. And I'm not opposed to being 7-1, 8-1. It's not the first time, and I'm sure it won't be the last. And we're going to have to see where this goes. But I'll be doing more research. I'll be talking to the company, actually. I've got a call into them, and I actually have one of their engineers. I was hoping to get a call from them today, but they're going to be getting back in touch with me and to get much more specific plan and cost and as far as building sizes, because that's, you know, when you're talking under, you know, basically $500,000 and some of the things I think I'm figuring high, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and I got to look at the city council. And the way they sit there and look at it, and like you said, they're not completely in favor of this here, not completely in favor of being down on Hodges Crossroad, but they're going to vote for it because they need it. They stop and think? Do they actually stop and think before they vote on something like this?
Well, I mean, one of
everything is not presented to the city council. I'm quite sure that the mayor talks to the councilors one-on-one before they go out for something like this.
Oh, I've been called the mayor. I've been to his office many times for several different issues. I've been up there. We've had several meetings, and we've worked together on some issues. And you know, that's the way it should work. Not politics. That's just the way I think it should work. And some of them had genuine concerns. You know, I know Councilor Bullitt was a public safety concern. That they're in there, and again, if you or I had a business with that, they would have closed it down.
It's dangerous, but nobody has done nothing about it. All of a sudden, it goes before public safety. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. All right. So I mean, and I can understand those reasons. I can understand, But I think we could, I'm just looking at a little bit different option, and I'm gonna take it a little bit further, and I'm gonna see. And again, I've been told, and they supposedly have it solved, that you do not put salt inside. And I know it's all gonna be coated and painted or whatever they do, but I was told you never put salt in a enclosed building. Nobody does it because it's bad. And this is not a brick building, stone building, it's a metal building, a 60-year-old metal building.
That's what bothers me.
Well, that's
the age of the building.
That's one of the things.
And you're gonna pay you're gonna pay more money than if you put up a brand new building. I can't.
Oh, I think extrapolating the costs out on this, it's, you know, you're talking 1.5 over 40 years, and say, oh, you're doing this building and you're gonna pay it off in a bond for 40 years. And we, again, we have money coming off the books, which will be paid off, so we can afford it. But again, we have multiple problems. And I don't think anybody is considering in those 40 years, say even go 10 years down the road, that we're pretty much set with the building, but there's pretty much, those buildings need work all the time. You know, I was under the impression until I went down there and asked, you know, well, initially I heard they put $400,000 into a new roof. I don't know where I got that figure, but then it came up, it's not a whole new roof. A portion of it was, and it was $150,000. So there's going to be other costs associated with being down there while we're still paying on it. And I don't know. But how about that presidential campaign?
That's one of the worst things I've seen in the last 74 years.
We'll certainly never see another one like it. It's interesting, I gotta say.
You know what's turning me off? Is the people on Facebook.
Oh, I don't worry about that. Because,
oh, gosh. I mean, no. Come on, people. Get a life.
Yeah.
Get a life. Look at what's going on in this world today. All right? And you're worried about somebody who lost a business, went bankrupt, and everything else. And on the other side, you're worried about somebody who associates with Muslims and this. Mm-hmm. Man, where did they pick these candidates? There were so many better candidates running.
Well, you know, and I'm a Trump guy, and 16, 17 candidates, great candidates. But again, I've said it before, I was a dues-paying Republican 3 years ago, you know, no more money. I'm not a Republican anymore. They had the House and the Senate, and all kinds of crap still went through. They basically gave Obama what he wanted, so I lost faith in the party. And that is why those 16 or 17 candidates that Trump ran against, virtually all very good candidates, well qualified, and the people said, the heck with you, what he said resonates. Like it or not, it resonates with the people. I told a person the other day I was talking to, and I don't know what to do. I said, well, vote for Johnson, you know. I said, you know, you do that, you're just giving it to Hillary. He said, I know. So I said, you got to vote for Trump. I said, if Hillary was your minister, if Hillary was a priest, if Hillary was a banker, if she was your financial advisor, would you keep her? He says, of course not.
Jail.
She's a liar. I said, so, and you want to make her your president?
She'd be in jail.
They can blame.
You know what I told somebody the other day? They were talking about this up to Florida Senior Center. And I said to somebody, well, you know, yes, yeah, she's been in politics for years. Her husband's been in politics for years. Well, she's a good lawyer, this and that. I said, she wasn't a good lawyer.
No.
She got fired on a Watergate. She got right out. They threw her out and said, she's bringing in her reports and lying. They threw her out.
Yeah.
Okay? That's got to give you something right there, some idea what's going on.
No.
Okay. Question.
Yes.
I'm going off the record now. The signs coming down Mohawk Trail to say that steep
mm-hmm.
after the hairpin turn.
Yeah.
I mean, after the hairpin turn. Are they up?
Oh, they've been up.
I haven't seen them.
Oh, there's six or seven of them.
Is there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got to look next time I come down. You know, being a local driver, I don't usually look for those signs.
Yeah, it's a truck. This typical truck driver. One's a trucker's look at. It's got the truck with the grade.
Oh, the grade and 7 point.
Something, whatever,
7% grade or better.
Yeah. Oh, that was, that was.
You know, I haven't noticed them.
Well, you're driving so darn fast.
I'm looking for deer. Driving so fast.
No, the state was, again, I had approached the state, the mayor jumped on board with it, mayor got to talk to the state, and we had meetings. Actually, they met us up there several months ago, the engineers from the state, the head people, and
I remember talking about that.
Yeah, we talked about what we'd like, and you know, they kind of agreed that's one of the steeper, more dangerous sections of highway in the state, and it's not marked from the hairpin turn down. And they agreed to put signs up, but they only go to the kind of the intersection up there, and they actually went past it with signs, and that was generally the city's responsibility, but the state actually came and put the signs up. The mayor had to sign off on it, you know, response legally.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And the state actually put all the signs up, and I believe there's
I'm going to look tomorrow.
Six or seven.
I'm going to look tomorrow.
Yeah, six or seven going down.
And there's no plans in the near future of putting a ramp in, is there?
No.
Because on that right-hand side, there's no
No, there's no, down. I mean, there's no real good place to, the place where a ramp would be on the flats coming off the main. But you have a pretty long stretch of fairly moderate grade where you can get the truck off the road. The yellow flashing sign that was fixed, concerns about that, so that got fixed. Everything, I mean, I really thought it'd be a big deal, have to go to traffic and bring it to the council, and boom, boom, boom.
I'm looking at that, and I just wrote today and said, you know, the city knew about this last year. Last year they knew about it, and they didn't do a darn thing about it.
Yeah.
Now look at it.
Yeah, again, you know,
The paper he's got there, people, is Notre Dame Church. The back, the buttress is falling apart. The big pile of bricks over there. They started losing bricks last year.
Yeah.
The City Hall, I think, knew about it, and they were going to do something, but...
Well, it's, again, you know, people say you should have a weekly show. I've been approached many times, and... Almost should, because it's so easy to go on and talk about things. There's a week doesn't go by with. I mean, I literally have boxes
you do
of
more
stuff.
Than that. You do much more than I do going through this stuff, because I don't bother with some of this stuff, because I know that I can go down to City Hall at a council meeting and bang my head against the wall, and they look at you and go, "Okay, you got 2 minutes. Sit down. Shut up."
Yeah, I mean, it can be frustrating, but I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
I actually went to a planning board meeting last week, and I enjoyed being there.
Yeah.
Because they let you speak now.
Yeah.
Before, they would say, this is not a public meeting, yeah, you can't talk. But now they encourage you to speak.
Yeah, that was, I mean...
You have to, you know, be rational.
I'm the liaison on the council, and that's the first planning board meeting I think I missed, because I had a meeting about this other...
I looked for you.
City.
I looked for
city
you.
Council.
You weren't there, and
no.
I said, oh, boy.
We were down in city council chambers for about a two-hour meeting.
Well, you see, I did the... planning board, and then I skipped out and came down to the council meeting. Mm-hmm. Then I skipped out and went to the parish council meeting.
Yeah.
So I had three meetings that night.
Yeah. So basically, this is city and state to go 50-50 on church fixes. It's Notre Dame Church. I was called on it probably about the same time the city was notified of it. I went up there, went around back, piles of bricks. The whole corner was coming down. There was a lot of water damage where the bricks had actually fallen, and it was from some damage and some theft where they took the water spouts out.
Copper water copper,
pipes
drain
and
pipes,
eaves.
Copper drains they stole.
So it was coming right down on a building, and it damaged the building, quite extensive damage. Things that bother me on this, it's been going on, and believe me, you know, I fought this other church. I mean, we just went through this 2 years ago with the other church, and I was all for selling that property and, you know, putting some money, tax revenue back in the city. Fought it. City won. You had, I think, 1,500, 2,000 people online support and save the church, you know. And again, if all those people, instead of just being, you know, the Facebook, the I'm going to type in, oh, save it, it's historical, blah, blah, blah. If every one of them put $100 in that church, it'd still be standing there. It would have been saved.
It would have been
open.
It
would have been done. So you got a bunch of people who are blah, 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 go on Facebook, type in for a petition to save it, and it amounts to freaking nothing.
My friend.
Constantly goes on like that. It's so frustrating.
My friend, the late Dr. John Morezzi, always said this. the mind is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Oh.
And you always quoted that from the Bible, you know, and I see it time and again on different things. People get up and talk about doing this, doing that, and everything else, and you say, well, we need volunteers to help. They immediately sit down and put their hands in their pocket.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Yeah. But
that's why we're here, folks.
People
let it go.
And all that to save it, and they did save it. They saved it. And if you want to see the great job they did of saving it, because they did a great job of saving it, you can go up there right now in the corner, and you look what the church is and just see what an outstanding job those people did and everyone else to save that church. Because, boy, I'll tell you, people like that, it's boy, we're really plugging along and doing good. Because
Tomorrow they start hauling that stuff out.
And, you know, what an embarrassment for those people who even signed up for that stuff. And they don't follow through. Again, if they put their money up and the people all banded, and I'm saying, well, I look down, I go up on a bridge, I look down and see all the steeples, how beautiful it is. Boy, it is. I sometimes have to stop my truck on that bridge and look down and see the steeples, you know. So now we've got another one the city owns. And this goes way back. The city purchased the church. And this is probably the only vote I can really think of that I think I messed up on. And we bought it, we bought the church, we bought the rectory, we bought the school up there. And for the hopes of restoration, of course, the other church was still going on, and we had all the steeples and the historical aspects of it. Mr. Rudd came in and got a church and made a museum, and that was nice. But in hindsight, looking back, that was a mistake. The college did come in and buy the rectory up there.
The rectories,
we have that school up there, which nothing's been done with. I thought that would have been a great school administrator building.
Yep.
Instead of putting it on Main Street, I thought that would have been a great deal from the city. I thought we could have used linkage funds from Walmart, but we didn't, and we're where we are. But now we got this church in bad condition, and if you read the article, the things that bother me, the city and the state are going to go 50-50. Historical Commission, they're going to kick in some money, 50, and we have to match it. So they're saying $211,000 to fix this, and it should be done, repair immediately to avoid a partial or a major building collapse. So I read that, and that sounds serious. You know, they must have been in there. They must have been checking it from head to toe. What's it say? In the report to the city, after a visual inspection conducted in June, engineer Bernard Hout wrote the church building structure must be repaired immediately to avoid partial or major building collapse. A visual inspection. Now, is that a head-to-toe structural inspection? I mean, this is a major deal. The city wants to sell this building, put an RFP to see who's going to buy it, okay? I don't know. I don't think you're going to get much on it. So right now, if it's 200, if it only ends up being $211,000 to fix the spouts, to replace the brick, we're into it for $211,000. Half of that money is coming from the city out of our reserves, which we've been building up, and we need, because we have a lot of stuff going on. We have a lot of important stuff going on, a lot of important buildings, a lot of infrastructure in the city that needs to be going on, not an ex-church. So we put an RFP out for this. So what I'm looking at is we put an RFP out for this, and somebody comes in and says, well, geez, we want to buy that. We'll give you $150,000 for it.
You take it in a heartbeat, brother.
But they're going to put $211,000 into the repair on the corners and on the spouts. This is a never-ending money pit. This is, I think, ridiculous. Tear it down.
Originally, that the church was supposed to be purchased by an artist group
for a museum. Yeah.
For a group.
Yeah.
A museum. Yeah.
But then you can only have so much of it.
It fell through.
You have to have so much of it. It's in a bad spot. This would improve the value of the school building we have up there, which could still be used, maybe sold, maybe people brought in for some housing or condos, would improve the parking lot and improve the neighborhood. You've got this big church there, ex-church, stuck in a very narrow road. Obsolete. Ask me now, tear it down. I don't know what it costs to remove the church we got up there.
St. Francis,
you know, say $300,000. Let's remove that church for $300,000 instead of putting $211 in it just to get it up to what we're going to put it out for an RFP. It's been there for 10, 12, 14 years. I got to say anyways.
Oh, yeah, at least 10 that I know of. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
RFP means, you know, no one's looked at it. You haven't had people come up and say, hey, what do you got for property? Well, we got this church. Hey, what do you want for that church? I'd like to do this. That's not out there. We have so many other important things to do in this city. I think to put money into that, and believe me, hey, I'm part of the Catholic community.
It has to be fixed. It has to be fixed. I'm going to tell you right now, if they don't fix that before winter sets in, we're going to have a major catastrophe up
here. Tear it down now. Take the $211,000, get emergency demolition thing, and let's tear it down. I think the property is going to be worth more as a property. If you put, I mean, again, and I don't know, again, I'm not a real estate person, I'm saying with that church there, it diminishes the school. You have the school there, you take the church down, now what's that property? Say it costs $250,000 to tear it down in Holloway. Then if you have a nice lot there with a school, maybe you can get $250,000, recoup your money. This is a money pit. I know the steeples are nice. I know you got restaurants named after it, real estate agencies named after it. It looks nice coming in, but they're obsolete, you know? So, I mean, this is going to come up to the council at the next council meeting. And again, we're into it for only half of it, because the other half, the mayor has to go for funding down the road later on. He said he'll apply for another $50,000 in non-emergency grant funding from the Massachusetts Historical Commission later this year. The fund, again, would need to be matched by the city. So it's the city putting good money into bad. And you know, if you want the perfect example of things that, with all good intentions, that's done. All good intentions. Great idea, great potential. All you got to do is, before you get to the city yard, go to Ashland Street and look at the armory.
There was something in the paper around
$2 million. You know, I think there was a lot of other potential things that could have been done with that money.
What is the armory going to be used as? Is that for kids now to play basketball or indoor soccer?
That's probably going to be another show. I've been looking into that.
Is the food center going up there?
Nothing worth the money that was put into it. And now you've still got structural work that needs to be done up on the peaks. That's why the blue tarps are over it.
Oh, gosh, look at that.
So the money that was spent on that, and if you look at the money to be going into the church, I mean, I'll tell you, again, I look at things a little bit differently. Probably not right. It all gets vetted. I lose most of them, which is okay, but whatever.
Another quick announcement for you people up on the mountain, Florida Mountain Senior Center is having a potluck luncheon tomorrow at noontime. They have a new director up there. Man, she's a ball of fire.
Mm-hmm.
So if people on the mountain, if you're listening tonight, get down to the Senior Center and enjoy your potluck lunch.
Oh, and congratulations to Adam Shanks. He got the Democratic nomination for our state senator. He'll be running against the Republican. So congratulations. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Ciao.